So we are finishing our walk through the life and times of Joe Jacobson. Hopefully we found that this series has been informative. To look at a guy who went through so much and to know that through it all, he followed God, he honored God. That is something every one of us should strive for. Our lives today, what we're going through today, is not that different from Joseph. We are living in a world where there's so much pain and suffering, and yet through Christ, we have been called to help bring people out of that. We're called at all times to point people to Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as we wrap up this morning, let's keep that in mind. How, as the body of Christ, are we going to start pointing people towards Christ? Once we get this, and some of you, maybe all of you, understand this, we realize that that is amazing. We have been called to play a part in God's redemptive work. We have been called, like Joseph. We've been put in this specific place at this specific time to point people to Christ, to help them out of death and destruction so that they can know true peace, so that they can know their Savior. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me to Genesis chapter 50? Hear the word of the Lord. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, 'My father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return.' Pharaoh said, 'Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear to do.' So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor at Aded, near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly, and there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor in Aded, they said, 'The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning.' That is why the place near the Jordan is called Abel Mizraim. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought at a burial place as a burial place for Ephraim the Hittite, along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph saying, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father.' When their message came to Joseph, to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I not in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what now is being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt, along with all of his father's family. He lived 110 years. And saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, was placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' And Jacob made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, 'God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place.'" And Joseph made that promise. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. So sorry about that. I realized I said Jacob instead of Joseph. Yeah. Too many J's. So Mizraim or Mizraim, That place where they called that, where all the weeping was done. Mitzrayim means Egypt in Hebrew, Aramaic. So that's why it was like the wailing place of the Egyptians, or the crying place. So this passage that we're looking at today takes place just after Joseph's father died. At the end of chapter 49, Jacob lets his children know, hey guys, I'm getting ready to die. Here's where I want you to bury me. And he wanted to be laid to rest where his forefathers had been, as well as his wife. Today's scripture, we see Jacob is dead, and Joseph prepares everything to his father's wishes. We see once again, Joseph is honoring everyone around him. Joseph always is an honorable man. He could have easily, with his position, laid his father to rest right there in Egypt. He could have had the best, most expensive funeral right there and put him in the ground. But Joseph honors the Lord in everything he does. And in doing so, he honors all those around him. So this is how this chapter starts out. Joseph's making these funeral arrangements for his father. And for him, this should have been a time of mourning. This should have been a time of him remembering the good times he had with his father. And that's what funerals are all about. If you're a follower of Christ, funerals are sad, but they're also a joyous time. They're a celebration. Because for a true follower of Christ, a funeral is really just a going home ceremony for you. It's a time when you're going to be face to face with your Lord, and all the good or all the bad times, all the pain, all the suffering is going to be gone. You're in the presence of God. So while it's sad for us who are here, it is also a time for us to give thanks. And for Joseph, Joseph held nothing back to honor his dad. Look at what he did. He brought in physicians to embalm his father. That embalming took 40 days of preparing this body. Then they spent another 70 days mourning. These are the Egyptians, not even Joseph and his family. All these people are mourning the loss of Joseph's father. Pharaoh even sent Joseph off to honor his father and allowed him to go to bury his father in the right place. And Pharaoh didn't just send Joseph and his family, but he sent all of his officials. He sent the dignitaries of his court and the dignitaries of Egypt. The scripture specifically points out it was all of these dignitaries. And they were noticed. They were watched. Specifically, they were noticed by the Canaanites. And we see in verse 11 that it says, the Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. So needless to say, this was an expensive funeral for a man who honored God. This was an expensive funeral, and we can't forget, Jacob was in the line of Abraham. Jacob was specifically Abraham's grandson, making Joseph Abraham's great-grandson. Remember last year, hopefully most of you do, if not all, I do because I talked about it. But last year we walked through the life of Abraham and how God made a covenant with him, which can be found in chapter 22, verse 18 of Genesis. That covenant says, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. God doesn't break his promises. You might remember the Abrahamic covenant. It's where God put Abraham to sleep and allowed Abraham to see what God was doing, and God alone made the covenant. He walked through the torn up meat. The symbolism of the torn up meat was, in the old days, back in this time, so way old days, you would cut up meat. So we'd take a couple deer, we'd split them in half, and we'd walk through it, symbolizing, if I broke the covenant, your family could tear me to pieces. If you broke the covenant, my family could tear you to pieces. And God knew that man couldn't keep this covenant, so God alone walked through the meat because God's not going to break that covenant. And that covenant right there was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But we have to notice why God made this covenant with Abraham. Scripture right there says it's because Abraham obeyed. Do you see a pattern here? Those who truly are God's obey the Lord. And as followers of God, as disciples, that means everyone who's a disciple of Christ is called to go out and spread the good news. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And for those who don't do it, Jesus also says you can judge a tree by its fruit. All through Scripture, you see prideful people who say they're following God, but they're not trusting and obeying God. And what happens to people who are like this? Well, you see the nation of Israel continually destroyed, over and over again, destroyed. Their people are carted off as slaves because they were not obeying God. You see a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees who thought they were honoring God, doing everything they could to catch Jesus off guard so they can destroy him. And Jesus was God, is God. You see, people come to Jesus, people who quote unquote follow Jesus around for days, weeks, months, possibly years, leave Jesus when he tells them what is really required of them. And yet, for some reason, we think we're different today. We are no different. A true follower of Jesus obeys. That's what Abraham did. This is what we've been seeing Joseph doing. And for Abraham to obey as well as for Joseph, we see something similar as well. God told them something, and it took decades before Abraham finally received that child a promise. It took decades for Joseph to finally witness his brothers bowing to him, and he went through prison. He was in jail. He was a slave. Neither one of these people, nor any other followers of God, ever went through life easily. Abraham lost his wife a couple times. Joseph's in jail. He's a slave. But we see them both, as well as all the other followers of God throughout the Scriptures, trusting and obeying. They're following God. And we see Joseph here, once again, honoring those around him, trusting in God's promises. While on the flip side, we see Joseph's brothers. Now remember, Joseph and his brothers should be mourning the loss of their father right now. They should be honoring a man of God. They, like Joseph, are the great-grandchildren of Father Abraham. They, like Joseph, were under this promise. But instead of honoring their father, they had other things on their mind. Once again, Joseph's brothers are just thinking about themselves instead of thinking about those around him. While Joseph was in mourning, Joseph's brothers were plotting, and we see that in verse 15 through 18 of today's scripture. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to Joseph, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. I don't trust Joseph's brothers. They sold him off into slavery. So maybe, just maybe, Jacob said to go and repent, to go and ask for forgiveness. But I don't trust them. What I see is Jacob dies and they started to panic. They started to think, we're in big trouble. This is just another sign in the life of Joseph's brothers that they don't get God. Yes, they sold Joseph off into slavery, but they still can't grasp the fact that God has been in charge. He's been at work the whole time. And instead of mourning the loss of their father, they're fearful because of the loss of their father. They think that with Jacob now gone, Joseph is going to retaliate. Yeah, Joseph went through some pretty hard times, but let's look at Joseph and where he's at right now. He is second in command to Pharaoh, second in command in the wealthiest nation at the time in the world. Jacob is wealthy. He could have Joseph. Joseph's wealthy. He could have whatever he wants outside of being Pharaoh. And here are his brothers, cowering. Just last week, we read about how Joseph forgave his brothers, and more importantly, how Joseph pointed out to his brothers that this was how it was supposed to be, that this was God's plan from the beginning. Chapter 45 states in verses 5 and 7, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." This is the difference between someone who really gets Jesus and someone who just does church. Joseph gets it. And why does he get it? He gets it because he trusts and he obeys the Lord. And that's something that his brothers are struggling with. And I can just imagine the frustration, but also the pain. Joseph wept when he got this letter from his from his brothers. And that's why he responds. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is being done now, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph has to reassure these guys. Joseph has to remind them over and over again that they have been forgiven. There are people who are in the church this day all around the world who constantly need to be reminded that they're forgiven. They can't grasp the fact that Christ died on a cross. Yes, they'll say it, but they don't act like it. And the truth is, you have been forgiven once and for all. Jesus has paid the price for you on the cross. So stop sinning. Turn to God. Allow him to be your Lord and Savior, because whether or not you allow him to be, he is your Lord and Savior. Stop having pity parties. There are others out there in the world who are lost, and God wants you to point them to him. There are countless people in the world who need to know that there is a God who loves them. And we need to stop being like Joseph's brothers who only focus on ourselves. We need to focus on God and what God has called us to do. Because instead of Joseph being allowed at this time to mourn the loss of his father, he has to sit back and cry over the fact that his brothers don't get it. There are people like that in the church all the time. There are people like that who are just like Joseph's brothers. All they think about is themselves. This is the problem with Joseph's brothers. The only thing they can think about is themselves. And we need to let that sink in. From the beginning of our walk through the life and times of Joe Jacobson, Joseph's brothers were more worried about themselves than about what God might be doing. They didn't like the dreams that Joseph was having because it meant that they would be bowing down to them, so they sold Joseph off into slavery because they didn't want to have to deal with their younger brother being raised up and used by God. But if you remember that same account, Jacob sent Joseph to check on them just before they sold him off. And Jacob told them where his brothers would be. When Joseph got there, they weren't there. They were 20 miles away doing what they weren't supposed to be doing. Because once again, all they can think about is themselves and what they want. And at this time when they're 20 miles away, they thought, no one's going to know. We can do whatever we want to do. Karen's brother came up to me after I did that sermon on Genesis 37, and he says, "What does it matter? They were tending the flock." I love it when people come up to me and talk about the sermon, and they ask questions. What it means is they were listening. Other people listen. I know they do, because they'll talk to me later on about stuff. But what it also does, they're listening, it gets my gears turning. Was I just saying something because I wanted to, or was there a valid point to what I was saying? And in which case, I hope there's always a valid point, but sometimes there's not. And his question is a great question, because who cares? They were still tending the sheep. Such a good question. Except for the fact that Joseph's brothers were 20 miles away, which is a couple days' walk with sheep, and they had all of Jacob's property. Jacob's wealth was in their possession, and they were not where they were supposed to be, with wealth that wasn't theirs. This is something as believers we need to take into account. Are you where you're supposed to be? Get back on track with God. Everything you have in your possession is the Lord's, whether you realize it or not, because you can't take it with you when you die, no matter how hard you try. But that's not all. They keep focusing on themselves. They knew they had sold Joseph off into slavery, and they knew that Jacob had not taken it well. For decades, Jacob had been a different father. He'd been sad. He was mourning the loss of his son Joseph. And his brothers through this whole time knew what they had done to Joseph. They could have easily gone up to Jacob and said, "Hey, Dad, we sold him." But that would have caused even more trouble for the brothers, because Jacob might have disowned them, or he might have kicked them out of the will. So instead of alleviating their father's pain, and they knew he was in pain, They did nothing about it. They kept their secret, allowing their father to mourn for decades. And for those of you who have lost children or who have lost a child, you know it's something you'd never get over. There's always that mourning. And this is the problem. Oh, I got to stay away from politics. This is the problem with abortion in our country, because people are losing their children on a daily basis and we're not fighting for it. And then decades later, they're in mourning over the fact that they lost their child, because our country's okay with something that is not godly. But for Joseph's brothers, if they had owned up to it, because Joseph wasn't dead. It is possible, since we know Jacob was a wealthy man, that he could have gone in search of his son and bought him back. But his brothers were too worried about their own well-being. So they've done this, and now once again, we just see over and over again, they're worried about themselves. They're worried about themselves. They don't care about other people. Once again, we see Joseph's brothers worried about themselves. So instead of mourning, they go to Joseph and they sell themselves to him. This is the mentality of people who think only about themselves. They don't care what others think. They don't care what others are going through. They only care about saving their own hides and what they like. And that is the problem in our church today. If Christianity became illegal in our country, I bet there would be a lot of people who would stop reading their Bibles, they would stop praying, and they would definitely stop coming to church, because it was illegal. And we've made church too comfortable. But what about the lost? It's another problem in the church. We really don't care about the lost. We talk about the lost in church on Sundays. We might even join a missions board at church to discuss it. We might even go on the occasional missions trip so we can take pictures and tell people we've gone somewhere. But there are millions of people around the world right now who are lost. There are billions. There are hundreds, if not thousands, right here in our area, who are lost and need to know their Savior. And we are fine, perfectly fine, sitting in our comfy pews. And I was over at the church the other day with Frank and a couple of the guys, Andrew and Patrick. They have really comfy seats at that church. But they're sitting in their comfy pews, and we have all these people lost right around us. And what we do in our pews is we talk about how one day we're going to go to heaven. We talk about how amazing it is that Jesus saved us. Jesus did not save us to sit in comfy pews, thinking of ourselves all the time. Jesus saved us so that we can go out and point others to him. That right there, that's the Great Commission. Go and teach what Christ has taught you. Christ says, go and teach them to obey all that I have taught you. There's a struggle with that, though, because we're not perfect. None of us are. We're going to mess up sometimes. But Christ tells us to obey everything he taught us. And if you're not obeying, then you're disobeying. If you're not obeying and going out and fulfilling the Great Commission, that might just be a sign that you are not a follower of Christ. And Joseph, he could have easily been angry with his brothers. He had every right to be. But he knew God had a plan. And that plan was for the redemption of his chosen people. God uses his chosen people to point his chosen people to him, those chosen who are lost right now. And for those that don't get this, for those that think being a Christian, the only point of it is to get yourself into heaven, well, you have the same mentality as Joseph's brothers. You don't get it. You don't get it because Christ hasn't opened your eyes here. Joseph, he's followed God all of his life. It hasn't been an easy life. It was hard for him for a long time. But he knew that he had to follow. He knew that the only way to honor God was to follow God and to realize that nothing he had was his. Everything he had was the Lord. And so that's what Joseph did. Joseph's a great role model for every one of us. For all the followers of Christ, Joseph's a great role model. We are called to follow and obey. No strings attached, to follow God and to give him everything we have. We're called to bring people to Christ, who is their only source of reconciliation. We're called to help them and point them to the redemption and salvation that they have through Christ, because Christ is our Lord. Christ is our provider. And in following Christ with everything we have, we do show a lost and dying world that there is hope. We show a lost and dying world that there is a God who cares about them, who cares about them so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us on a cross. And remember, we don't have to say a word to point people to Christ. You don't have to be the smartest mind out there, but you can judge a tree by its fruit. I like it better when I don't have to talk to someone and they realize I'm a Christian and I don't have to talk about Christ, and then they start asking questions, because then I don't have to stress myself out. It just comes naturally. Missions work because it's all about building relationships. So here's the question. I know it might seem like I've jumped all over the place this morning, and in some ways I really have. But we walked through the spring looking at different responses in Scripture to Christ, different responses that people had to Christ. We spent the summer walking through the book of James, looking at true faith, what it really looks like. We walked through a quick series on working like a boss because God has commissioned us to bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth, just like it is in heaven. And we spent the last 9 weeks walking through Jacob's life, a life that was all about trusting and following God. There is no question. A person is either a true follower of Christ, meaning they trust and follow God no matter what, meaning they've given all that they have to God, their time, their money, their resources, meaning they point people to Christ in all they do, or they're not a follower of God. A true follower of God looks like that. A person who's not a follower of God could look like many different things, because a non-follower of God could attend church on a weekly basis. A non-follower of God could be a leader in a church. I mentioned a story this past summer about a missionary whose wife came to faith while in the missions field. She grew up in church. She went to a Christian school, and yet her eyes were opened on the missions field, and she was embarrassed. And when she told her husband that I've finally come to Christ, but I don't want to tell anyone else, he says, yes, we have to, because there are too many people sitting in churches who think they're believers. But there are also countless millions of people in our country right now who don't go to church. There are millions of people who go to church on Christmas and Easter, and that's it. But there are also millions of people who are flat out non-believers, along with the billions are around the world. All those are equal. You're either following Christ with all you have or you're not. You either trust and obey God with your all or you're not. Going to church doesn't cut it. So the question is, which one of these people are you? Can you truly say right now that you've given everything you have to Christ, that you realize all you have is his, that you realize what you're supposed to do is be used by God to spread the good news? And it doesn't happen every day. Spreading the good news is about building relationships with people. Or are you like his brothers? Do you care more about yourself, more about your traditions, more about the way you like doing things? Do you really believe everything is yours? This is only a question. The answer to this question is only something you can give. You can only answer it for yourselves. Yes, you can judge a tree by its fruit, but this question is an eternity question. You will either be in his presence for eternity because you want to be with him and you realize everything is his and you follow him no matter what, or you're going to experience an eternity without him, without the blessings that we so freely enjoy here on earth. So which person are you? Are you Joseph or are you his brothers? You can tell by how you act, because as I keep saying, you can judge a tree by its fruit. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we come before you this morning, asking that you open our eyes, asking that you show us what you have called us to do, that you draw us closer to you, Lord. We need you. We need you to fill us, not just Sunday mornings. We need you to fill us 7 days a week, all year long, for the rest of our lives. Use us as your people, God. Give us a heart to follow you. Ignite a fire in us that only desires you. We don't want to care about ourselves, Lord. We want to care about you and what you care about. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.